listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Do You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Morning, African world, hotel family. How you doing? You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I'm your host, Brother Oshi. Good morning, hotel family. It's going to be a great day. Going to be a great weekend. Hope you're going to have, hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it's not, you'll get it done anyway, no matter what the weather. You're going to be like the post office from hell or high water. You're going to get it done. And the deep freeze is going to abate a little bit for many people in the country. It's going to ease up and more than likely be back soon. You know, people around the world. There's no place that's not affected by climate change. And obviously not hearing to what was agreed upon in Tokyo, not hearing to the scientists who've been saying this, who have really no axe to grind, but and you know, they want to make sure there's a planet. They want to make sure there is a planet for their children. Like, I want to make sure there's a planet for my grandchildren and great-grandchildren and so forth and so on. It's affecting the whole planet. And yet, the greed of the planet is what caused it, and that greed is being maintained through ignorance and ignoring the situation. It's a damn shame. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives. That is timeforanawakening.com. Once you get on the website, you look for podcasts and click on that, and you'll see. And then you got to click on African Perspectives once you open up podcasts. And then you'll see programs that are dated and titled. So, other program we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, as I stated, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, this program, African Perspective, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Following this program on Monday and Wednesday is the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3 p.m., from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People Matrix. Monday evening from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds with Brother Wahad. Following that is Let's Buy Black 365. From 8 to 9, and then Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, the Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, also from 8 to 10. And then on Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. Relationships with Joy and Troy. What's today? It's Friday. Oh, when 8 p.m. comes, Brother, you know what time that's going to be. That's right. It's going to be Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. On Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's not me. It is Sister POC and her program, Revive. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., once again, it is time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 7 p.m. on Sunday. And then every Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. Go to WeBuyBlack.com because it's the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, and you can get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. But if you're in the Atlanta area and you're near the Greenbrier Mall, right off of Georgia Highway 166, there you'll find a kiosk for We Buy Black. And you can pick up many of those products right there at the kiosk. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tahimba, hope he'll be on with me after the 12 o'clock hour, Brother Bomani. Next week, he is taking our brothers and sisters to Ghana. That's right. No, excuse me. I apologize. Next week, he is taking our brothers and sisters to South Africa, Johannesburg, and Cape Town, November 22nd to December 2nd, Johannesburg and Cape Town. Then, at the end of next month, December 24th to January 4th, 2020, he's taking brothers and sisters once again to Ghana, West Africa. And you can see pictures of those trips in the previous trip, which was back in May, on Facebook.com/Bomani. You can see videos of those trips on YouTube, YouTube.com/Bomani2007. And the number to call, Brother Bomani, is 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. Africa for the Africans.org. Check it out. Shrine of the Black Madonna. The Shrine of the Black Madonna, located in the West End here in Atlanta on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. It has everything. Their store hours are Wednesday through Saturday from 12 to 7 and Sunday from 1 to 3. They are closed Monday and Tuesday, and they have everything. They got furniture. They got artwork, figurines, clothing, the red, black, and green shoes, and the guy's shoes. They got it all. They got Kwanzaa kits. That's right, brothers and sisters. They got Kwanzaa candles. You know you're going to set yours up, so check out the shrine, because you know it's going to be hard to find those candles pretty soon. But what they really have is books, the cultural center and bookstore. And if they don't have the book that you desire, believe me, they'll get it for you. They also have a history class every Saturday. Every Saturday, and the history class just started back up. So if you go this Saturday and subsequent Saturdays, you'll be on the beginning of the history class from 1:30 to 3:30. Know Thyself, the African history class, from 1:30 to 3:30. If you can't do that, but you would like that information, you can also contact the Shrine about their multimedia library. Brothers and sisters, it is now 7 terabytes of African enlightenment. 7 terabytes. Woo. A lot of information for you. Medu Netcher. You know what that means, right? Writings of the gods. That's what the Greeks call the hieroglyphs, the Medu Netcher. Well, we have the Medu Bookstore right next to the Greenbrier Mall, right next to the kiosk of We Buy Black. So if you see We Buy Black, you'll see the Medu Bookstore. And they have books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, all kind of good stuff for you, ready for the Kwanzaa and so forth. And the number to call is 404-346-3263, 404-346-3263 at the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, my good brother Kazimde Ajamu. If he doesn't have the book that you desire, he'll get it. If he doesn't have the Nagash shoes that you're looking for, he'll get them. The number to call is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Us Lifting Us, the Us Lifting Us radio broadcast last night. Very good job, Baba Kambizi and Baba Thurman. Outstanding, good information. Us Lifting Us every Thursday night, 9 p.m. up to around 10 p.m. 9 p.m. to around 10 p.m. And to listen And if you want to just say something, you call 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. That's us lifting us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Ackerman Institute. Hey, you know what I didn't do? I didn't talk about, because it wasn't up on my screen. I apologize, family. Let me go back and get this one in right quick before I go any further. Dr. Rinoka Rashidi, my good brother, has been in the continent. Now I think he's back in Europe, and he'll be home soon, but he's been doing some serious travel. Last he was in Sudan. But he has a trip coming up in January 21st through February 4th, and that is going to be in three places, Senegal, Gambia, and Guinea-Bissau. If you want to check him out on the internet, please do. Go to drrinoko.com, drrinoko.com, Dr. Rinoko. His phone number is area code 323-803-8663. You can call and leave a message. Like I said, he's still out of town. And that trip is a very affordable trip. Okay? January 21st to December to January 21st to February 4th, 2020. Brother Rinoko, Senegal, Gambia, and Guinea-Bissau. Ackerman Institute. Ackerman Institute, brothers and sisters. The work that Brother Yah and Mwalimu Baruti, Baba Baruti are doing is monumental, and they need support. So make your check and money order out to Ackerman Institute. P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. If you want to use PayPal or Cash App, the dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A-M, the letter M, then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. And you can use PayPal and Cash App to make your donations to Ackerman Institute. Also, too, tomorrow's the 16th, Kibuka. Remembering the middle passage through the eyes of our ancestors. It's a deep reenactment. It has to be viewed. Solemn. It's remembrance. It's paying attention to what we have gone through and what we are still going through. Kibuka. Baba Baruti will do a presentation. The children will be there. It's going to be at the Sweet Spot, 675 Metropolitan Parkway here in Atlanta, and the time is 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. Kibuka. Also, too, African Warrior Women's Day next month, December 10th. It's going to be at Ackerman Institute. Also, there's going to be an online streaming on Facebook of the presentation of African Warriors Women's Day. Sister Yah will be doing that. Sanjay-Haiti.org, Sister Gabrielle Real, Sister Gabby, go to her website, check it out, the great things she's doing in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Sonjay-Haiti.org, Sanjay-Haiti.org. Black Talk Radio Project, the Black Talk Radio 2019 Media Fund, it's well underway. Go to blacktalkradionetwork.com. Once you get on the page, all you can do is scroll down, look to the right, and you'll see the donation button. Make a donation. Keep Black Talk Radio live. Keep the things that we're trying to do alive. Responsibility for doing that is ours. It's no one else's. It is ours. Inye Sesim. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. November 14th. Once you conquer the enemy within, the enemy without can do you no harm. I repeat, once you have conquered the enemy within, the enemy without can do you no harm. African proverb. Revolution is not an activity for whiners, for individuals too caught up in their complaints to rebel. Revolution is not something we decide to take on to impress anyone except our ancestors and children. Revolution is not a hobby or a vacation. It is not a game. Revolution is not televised or broadcast from soapbox or podium. Revolution is not a walk-in, sit-in, stand-in, or lay-in. Revolution is not reform. Revolutionaries do not waste their time trying to recast or remake an incorrigible evil in a kinder, gentler image. Revolution is not the work of adult children trained in the art of quitting at the first sign of difficulty. Revolution is not an option for subintegrationists lost in the glory and bedrooms of our eternal enemy. Revolution is not ongoing debate. Given our historical situation, revolution is a naturally occurring phenomenon, and revolutionaries are the people we naturally become when we uncover the seriousness of the war against us and decide that this torment will be no more. Affirm, I have conquered the enemy within. Affirmed, I have conquered the enemy within. November 15th. Always in the presence of color, whites will feel genetically inferior. Dr. Francis Cress Welsing. The politics of inclusion are simply strategic efforts to co-opt and absorb competing interpretations of reality while Europeans remain supreme in their control of all real forms of power at a cultural and societal levels. In what fundamentally remains a monocultural supremacist reality, inclusion is simply an illusion designed to fragment and dissipate the anger that erupts when the disposed learn that they are purposely disposed and they have been systematically lied to in a conscious effort to conceal the fact from them. Those in control accept difference long enough to diffuse the rage, creating and upholding all other lies that support it. In this way, Europeans never have to admit that they are absolutely wrong or lose their erroneous claims to supremacy. Their reality absorbs those truths, and they are not too troublesome for it to handle and smothers them into oblivion. Affirm, I do not play with others' politics of inclusion. Affirm, I do not play with the others' politics of inclusion. November 16th. To rob people or countries of their name is to set in motion a psychic disturbance that can in turn create a permanent crisis of identity. Jan Carew. Miseducation is virtually an unavoidable without conscious awareness of the pervasiveness and intent of the assault. Simply saying the names of the streets we walk on, the cities and states we live in, the schools we attend, the currency we use, the cars we drive, the clothes we wear, the food we eat, the days of the week, the names of the month, planets, galaxies, and even the creator, the word God, meant in the etymology and all other intents and purposes being European in origin, as well as the names we answer to, gives the Urugu power over our minds by invoking the names of its families, traditions, historical truths, and heroes. Without preparation and constant vigilance, the European view is always locked in. And once this occurs, the struggle to break free from Eurocentric thinking becomes too fearful and or too much work for most of us to bear. Sad but true. Affirm, I watch my words. Affirm, I watch my words. It's like I told you that. I don't know if you can liberate yourself in somebody else's language, because language creates reality. That's why when people say words have meanings,
And I did a program on that some months ago. And yet those words still are there. Kwame Nkrumah. You know, I read this and I will continue to do so because I want to make sure that you understand the vision that we need to have. I am encouraged lately. You have some countries who are getting rid of European currency. The continent should get rid of European currency. The continent should get rid of Europeans. The continent should get rid of Chinese. The continent should get rid of Indians, Koreans, China, whatever. And control its resources, its land, its people. The continent should come together, and whatever happened in the past, whatever amends can be made, please do so in the sake or for the sake of unity, which we so desperately need. And work towards that unity, and whatever happened in the past will never happen again. Nobody will ever be able to come into our house and divide us. The freedom speech in 1961. I believe strongly and sincerely that with the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture united under one federal government will emerge, not just as another world block to flaunt its wealth and strength, but as a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is not built on fear, envy, and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others. It is built lost my way, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, and friendship, and dedicated to the good of all mankind. Some years later, if we do not approach the problems that we are experiencing here in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we will be haggling and wrangling among ourselves until we are colonized again. Oh, yes. How true. And become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we have suffered heretofore. Oh, how true. Those sad refrains. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior. In order to understand the effects of the European, what the European has on our ability to think victoriously, we must be able to separate our thoughts from European thoughts so as to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europe. This is demanded. By an African-centered view, because we are Africans, and because the future toward which Europe leads us is genocide. I don't hate anybody. I hate no one. I love humanity. I recognize now, could there be some way how that human beings develop differently in different parts of the world? I don't know. And you know what? I don't give a damn. I don't care. I'm dealing with right now. Right now. Just because we did things in the past, I'd look at that because we did them in the past. That means we could do them again in the future. That's that reference. But I'm not dwelling on the past. I mention it, I glorify it. It's great because in order for us, because of what has happened to us in our minds, we must reflect on the past, and it must be honest, it must be true. That's why I support Baba Rinoco, Tony Browder, many other scholars, warrior scholars and historians, those men and women. I love that quote because that's why it's so true, by Drusilla Dungy Houston. She said this quote in 1926, the same year that Carter G. Woodson started African History Week, or Black or Negro History Week. And her quote is so damn profound. As when she said it in 1926, almost a damn 100 years ago, she said, out of geology, ethnology, archaeology, paleontology, I have dug up an irrefutable arsenal of facts that Harvard or Yale or even cowardly scholarship in our race dare not refute. How can a leadership point the way forward that is utterly ignorant of its past? That is still that way today. Some of our people still begin our history as if we were, they believe that just what the European has told us, that we were running around the jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, never having created a civilization of any kind, of any worth, of any note. Basically justifying our captivity. Many of our people have fed into that. And some of our people today, well, you know, I'm kind of glad we, you know, the European enslaved us because, you know, we over here in America, you know, it's a lot better here. We live a lot better. We get more food, everything like that. And I got a good job. I work at Walmart and at McDonald's. Whew. Yeah. But I still love us. I still love us. You know, our people just, but I love African people. My good brother, Dr. Conrad World, I mentioned him the other day. He gave me a call because he had heard that Sister Marimba, Dr. Marimba Ani, had a stroke or something, which was not true. Some rumor got out there and it was terrible. And of course, we squashed it. It's been squashed. And I know I will see her tomorrow at Kibuka looking at the Ma'afa, or our great tragedy, our enslavement through the eyes of our ancestors. It's a great program that Baba does. So Conrad gave me a call and we talked for a while. But he's been putting a column in, like he used to do with World's World, when I first started reading him back in Milwaukee at our community newspaper. It was syndicated in there. Then I met Conrad. Reparations, yes, I think it was Chicago, at the Center for Inner City Studies. It's called today the Carruthers Center for Inner City Studies. It was named after Dr. Jake Carruthers, or Baba Jetty Simsu. It's named after him, and Conrad is one of the professor emeritus. He's just ahead now. He's at work. He's a professor emeritus, but some beautiful men and women coming out of the Carruthers Center and the outstanding work that they do. He has an article, Loving African People. It's the latest article in the Chicago Crusader News Group, Chicago Crusader, chicagocrusader.org. The word love is probably one of the most used and overworked words in the English language. According to most European definitions, love is a feeling of strong personal attachment induced by a sympathetic understanding or ties of kinship. And of course, we are the most familiar with the use of the word love in connection with tender and passionate affection for one of the opposite sex. For one of the opposite. Man, sometimes I can't talk. Opposite sex. From time to time, we also hear the word love used as an expression and articulation of one's love for African people as a culture, as a group, or as he used the word race. And of course, you know, there is no race. There's only one race, the human race, of which African people are the fathers and mothers of. There's cultures. And what Europeans have done is impose their culture on the world. It's without question the strengths of the worldwide African community have lost all sense of moral and ethical relationships with other African people. Anytime you're talking about xenophobia, xenophobia is fear of others. And they're using that word in South Africa because they are brothers and possibly sisters too, I believe, who are getting jobs in South Africa from Nigeria and from Kenya and from Ghana because those brothers and sisters have greater access to education than in South Africa. And the South Africans believe they're coming and taking our job. The South African brothers and sisters ain't killing Indians. They ain't killing Europeans. They ain't killing anybody. They're killing other Africans. So, no, it is not xenophobia. It is Afrophobia, fear of other Africans. And even that is ignorance. This is demonstrated day in and day out by the increased number of African people participating in their own genocide, killing each other mentally and physically, abusing each other, stealing from each other, being dishonest with each other, and the list goes on and on and on. This is why reparations movement is so important in the process of repair of the damages inflicted upon us. I can truly say I love African people no matter how frustrated I get with the negative behavior of so many of our people. I ditto that. I love us in spite of all this foolishness and all this ignorance and all this self-hating. I love us. I thank God. I thank the Spirit that I was made African. Oh, yes, you could see me. My father was a very light-skinned man. My mother was a dark-skinned woman. But I am who I am, and in my heart and in my soul, in my very being, I know I'm African. And I promote being African. When I changed my name, when I wore those clothes, some people took it as a fad. You're just going through a phase. No, not with me. Because at the time I was doing it, other people, there were people wearing rambuba, sister with gay lays on, daishiki, all of that. As you see, that died out. Not with me. Because it wasn't. I wasn't making no damn fashion statement. I'm making a statement is that we need to be who we are as African people and be proud of that. Once again, I can truly say that I love African people no matter how frustrated I get with the negative behavior of so many of our people. Because I don't blame us. I don't blame us. I put the blame where it squarely belongs. On an evil mindset. On an evil system. That causes us to behave and do the things that we do. When people use that term, well, if we knew better, we'd do better. A lot of us don't want to know. Because by knowing, you automatically must do or should do better. Because you're more aware. But a lot of us just, no, I don't want to hear that. Just like that sister in that discussion I was just, I don't want you telling me no more. You're trying to change my mind. You're trying to give me a different perspective. I love African people because I understand that the creative force of the universe has endowed us to make the great contributions we have made and continue to make to the world. And see, those of us who understand that, we know that. But even still today, the only thing that people would believe is that we were running around the jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose. We never created anything of any kind. But when I began, and I always thank my dear ancestor, Virginia Grant Stamper, for that program that she had back in the 60s, late 60s, which I was involved in when I was a teenager, called Learn Power. But that's where I learned our black nation. Prior to going to that program, and I was already in high school, the only thing I remember in the public schools that I attended was Booker T. Washington and George Washington Carver. You definitely would not learn about anybody who fought physically like a Frederick Douglass, took the whip from the so-called slave master and start beating on him, understanding that they would kill him. So he had to run. He ran out of Maryland and straight up north to Massachusetts. You couldn't hear about anything like that. Hell, I don't even ever hear about the Mau Mau movement. Because those were us fighting against Europeans, fighting against their imposition of their dominance over our lives. So I thank her and the people that I learned about, the inventions we created, the things that we did, letting me know personally that I come from a people, not what the European has said about them, but I come from a people who have a history long before anything that Europeans had done. I wish I'd have had more information about ancient Kemet, because I was in a conversation back at the firehouse not too many years after I joined, and this Caucasian, because I didn't have the information. I kick his ass today. Oh, I dust that mother. But back then, I didn't have the information. You know, your people, you know, you didn't even write anything. You don't have no writing. You just have an oral tradition. No, we created everything. All those disciplines were started by us. I love African people because I understand that the creative force of the universe has endowed us to make the great contributions we have made and continue to make to the world. A simple inspection of the ancient Nile Valley civilizations of Kemet should cause African people to love each other. That's why I still do my presentation. I do it at down in New Orleans on ancient Kemet, because we need to know what we have done. Because if you've been led to believe you've never done anything, you never contributed anything, and you have no other sources, then that's what you're going to believe. That's what you're going to believe. But if you understand and you know the history and you believe the truth that you were the first people to form organized societies, you were the first people to build, first people to bring the world architecture, writing, law, religion, you name it, all of that. A simple inspection of the ancient Nile Valley civilization of Kemet should cause African people to love each other. Ancient Kemet and the Kemetic people were the creators of mathematics, science, art, architecture, writing, governance, astronomy, medicine, and so much more. The ancient Kemetic people produced wisdom that was written down in their language called the Medu Netcher. Medu means writing. Netcher means God. Or as they like to say, divine speech. Divine speech. Our classical African language, or what the Europeans called hieroglyphs. We can examine the ancient Kemetic wisdom in the Hosea. The Hosea is a project that Dr. Milana Karinga, the creator of Kwanzaa, helped develop by the deciphering of the Medu Netcher. One of the things that Shinkat Jajop told Baba Jedi Dr. Jacob Carruthers, Baba Jetty. He said, learn the Medu Netcher. And so many of our people began to learn the Medu Netcher. It's fortunate that the Caucasian found the tablet that had Medu Netcher, Greek, and I think it was Phoenician. I got to get to correct. There's three languages which help decipher the Medu Netcher. It wasn't English. We can examine this ancient comedic wisdom in the Hosea, which gives us insight into how our great ancestors viewed life, death, human relationships, marriage, parenting, use of power, God, family, and standards of moral and ethical conduct. Reading the Hosea brings out all my love for African people in a most profound and spiritual way. Ashe. Listen to the words translated in the Hosea. Do not terrorize people, for if you do, God will punish you accordingly. If anyone lives by any means, God will take bread from his or her mouth. If one says, I shall be right by such means, she will eventually have to say, my means have entrapped me. This passage continues. If one says, I will rob another, he will end up being robbed himself. The plans of men and women do not always come to pass, for the end, it is the will of God which prevails. Therefore, one should live in peace with others and give gifts which another would take from them through fear. Now, I know last week I had Brother Jeremiah Kamara on, and we're talking about religion, particularly Christian religion, religions period. But African people had a spirituality, and we still have a spirituality, whether you want to believe in a God or not. But what I want us to believe in is each other and develop a moral and ethical foundation. I try my best to be the best man that I can be, grounded in the knowledge of ourselves as African people, with respect towards women, respect towards elders, love and caring towards youth, our children, of reverence and high respect for our ancestors, and my deep unconditional love for African people. These words written 4,000 to 5,000 years ago and their wisdom should cause all African people to once again love each other for the greater good of our culture and our families and our history and our future. Our love for each other and the wisdom of our ancestors should give us inspiration and motivation to rededicate ourselves to the continued struggle for the liberation of African people worldwide. If you identify as African, I'm down with you. I ain't talking about some Caucasian because they was born in Africa and they now claiming. I ain't talking about them. I ain't give a damn if they have been there for a few hundred years. I ain't talking about them. Because you and I know we cannot go anywhere on this planet and claim anything, especially in your, hell, nowhere. That's why I'm emphatic about us going home to reclaim our land. Not wanting to be a part of no damn place other than Africa. And yet our people are trying to leave to come to America, go to Europe, China, whatever. We have a responsibility and a duty to the Creator who gave us all life, power, and health by building institutions and giving back that which has been given to us through the creative force of the universe. This responsibility and duty should inspire us to work harder in the reparations movement, because that's what reparations is about. Repair is not about somebody giving you something. It is the repair of African people on the continent and throughout the diaspora. I love African people because I know we have the capacity to return to the concept of Ma'at. M-A-A-T, Ma'at. And the seven virtues of Ma'at: truth, justice, balance, divine order, righteousness, reciprocity, and love. Ma'at. We have everything we need for our liberation except the will, our minds. We have everything we need. We have the Nguza Saba. The Nguza Saba of Umoja, unity. Kujichagulia, self-determination. Ujima, collective work and responsibility. Ujamaa, cooperative economics. Kumba, creativity. Nia, purpose. Kumba, creativity. And Imani, faith. Those seven principles, along with the seven principles of Ma'at, of truth, speaking truth, doing truth, justice, making sure that you are just in your dealings within your family, within your community, within your culture, within your people. You are just. You have no ulterior motives. You have nothing behind that you're trying to hide. You have transparency. You have honesty. You have honesty. Balance. In balance. Your life must maintain balance. There ain't always going to be good. There's some bad. How do you deal with it determines. I always say that life is a roller coaster with a series of ups and downs for everybody. And on those downs, how do you deal with them? Because when you're going up and you got it going good, you think everything is going to always be that way. But no, for everybody, all humans on the planet, it's a roller coaster. And when you're going down, how do you handle those downs? One of the things that really will help you is those connections, is those friendships, is family. Because they will root you and ground you. You ain't going to be tripping. And next thing you know, you're killing every damn body and yourself. Divine order. Understanding that order and trying your best to maintain order. Righteousness. We should be held to standards of righteousness, all of us. Righteousness. Reciprocity. You reap what you sow. What goes around comes around. Always try your best to do good and be good, because what goes around comes around. And of course, love. A respect for ourselves, each other, and respect for African people. Once Ma'at is restored, we can do as the Creator has done by giving life, power, and wealth, and health. By restoring Ma'at, we can restore ourselves, thus giving us all the necessary ingredients to win our reparations and to win the challenge for us as a people to live freely, independently, in sovereignty. Only through love can we survive the Caucasian exploitation and genocidal onslaught. I love African people, and I urge all African people to love each other. Baba Conrad Worrell, Dr. Conrad Worrell. He's Professor Emeritus at the Carter Center in Chicago. He's a good brother, good friend. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, you will have more African perspectives. You stay with us. You're listening to African Perspectives. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
some get back. Payback. Payback. Thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, my program, African Perspectives, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. Right after my program on Monday and Wednesday is the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. Also on Monday evening, is Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8, Brother Wahad. Right after that is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And then Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. Wednesday, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. On Fridays at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it is Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, with her program Revive, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday. And then Sunday evening, once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on every Monday through Friday, the Warren Ballantyne Show, right here on Time for an Awakening Media, Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 12 a.m., the Warren Ballantyne Show. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Also, too, on Fridays from 4 to 6 Eastern Times on Blog Talk Radio, Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness with Brother Yusuf Muhammad. And the number to call is 563-999-3089. 563-999-3089. Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. We have my guest is on with me. And that is a brother who I talk about every time I have this program, encouraging you to go to the motherland and see for yourself. Don't believe what you see and read in these books and on TV. Go there and see for yourself the beauty of your motherland, the beauty of where we must go back to. And that is Brother Bomani Tayemba, Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani, how are you, sir?
Yes, Green Family, Bomani Tayemba here. I'm doing well. How about you?
I am doing fine, dear brother. I'm doing well. Yes, I know you're doing excellent. I know you're doing well, man. I know you got a trip upcoming. And once again, I want to thank you when I went to Ghana this past April for your assistance. It was really vitally important and helpful, man. You downloaded all the documents I needed and all those good things, man. Although, hey, I don't know if I ever told you this, but I had to get yellow fever, and there was no yellow fever supposedly in the state. I couldn't get that yellow fever shot, man, until finally a sister at the travel clinic located in Decatur, right off of the North Decatur, in that particular area over by DeKalb Medical. And so I went there, and she said she didn't have, and I called around. Until they said to me, well, you're going to have to go to Greenville. There was a clinic in Greenville where you could get the shot. Oh, and it was going to cost me a lot more, going to cost me time and gas, all of those things. Man, that sister called me up, man. And she said, if you could be here on this Friday, on this date, at this time, we'll take care of it. Man, I was there long before time. It was great. So I got my shot. And now I don't have to have it no more. You know, I don't have to have the shot anymore. But to me, those are some of the things that you got to understand that you have to do to travel internationally. You got to have, you know, especially to African countries or tropic countries, you need malaria pills, you need your shots and so forth. You know, and I know that you were instrumental in making that happen for me. So once again, I thank you for that, Brother Bomani.
Yeah, absolutely. And while you're talking about shots and things, all those things are different for different people based on different people's health, mm-hmm. wellness, and background and age and things like that. But definitely the most important thing you want to do is to boost your immune system. So all the things that you can do to just make yourself healthy and strong would definitely help in a tropical environment. And then once you get there, you know, lots of coconut water, coconut jelly, and just all the tropical fruits and vegetables just to keep your body strong. Because everything that needs to keep you strong and keep you, just well grows right here in the country, right in the ground.
Right. You don't need to go. You just need to get it from people who know and then drink that coconut water and all the other things you need to do to stay wealthy. Healthy, brother. Healthy,
exactly.
Wealthy, and strong.
So I just want to let people know that just because they take a bunch of vaccinations and things like that don't mean that they're going to be healthy and safe anywhere, whether it's here or Africa. We always have to focus on the reality of being in a natural mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Because last I remember, pills and things like that don't cure anything.
Right.
It only kind of blocks it or cover it up or, you know, kind of just and kind of put it off to the next day or so. But all of those things are part of people getting prepared, getting your visa, having a passport, getting a visa, and just mentally ready to take advantage of the opportunity. Because once you get to the continent, you got to think about that. You got to take advantage of all the opportunities to enjoy every single minute, because it's not like every day we're in tropical Africa.
That's right.
And when you're not in Africa, it's miserable, honestly. Because like right now, it's like my whole mindset here every day is work, get things done to get to Africa.
Yep. In that preparation, I know.
I literally don't feel right until I get here.
I know. I saw you and your son back a few months ago on a nice hot. That's when we had that long string of 90-degree weather for about a month and a half.
Day.
Yeah, beautiful day. And I saw you and your son. You were passing out information at the right there on Ralph David Abernathy. Your brothers had set up a nice little thing to go in there. But so you're leaving this. Next week, Friday, going to South Africa, going to Johannesburg, and then Cape Town or vice versa?
Spending 5 days in Johannesburg and then 3 days in Cape Town.
Okay. Have you been there before?
Yes, last time I've been to South Africa was in May and November of 2005, so roughly 14 years ago.
Okay.
Which is the second year I started traveling to the African continent.
Okay. Oh, so you started around that time, traveling back and forth to the African continent.
In 2004, and then I went into business in 2006.
Yeah, and you've been going back every year since, haven't you?
Oh, yes, I've been traveling to African continent for 15 straight years, going to 9 countries.
That's great, man. That's beautiful. I know there's one country. I've been to Senegal and in Ghana, and in Egypt. But I would love to go to. I want to go to Kenya. I want to go to Mombasa. Have you been to Mombasa?
Oh yeah, I've not been to Mombasa, but I spent a few days in Nairobi in 2005. Once we left from South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's like one of those years where I landed in Senegal, then end up going to South Africa, end up making our way to Kenya. So
what about
one of the people that do a lot of these multiple country trips and different things over the period?
Yeah. What about Rwanda?
No, I've never been to Rwanda, but I've heard a lot of wonderful things about it. I'm sure one day I'll get a chance to check it out.
Yeah, same here. Rwanda definitely, and Tanzania. So those are just a few places that I would definitely like to go check out. You know, South Africa doesn't interest me that much, only because I know that Europeans are still in control in South Africa, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And South Africa, I'm scared.
No, I'm going to say, and in Namibia, there's Germans, they're still in control. But you were going to say, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, that's serious, man. You're talking about the high percentage of white folks running things. And you know what it is? All you need is like 2 white people. You don't need a whole bunch of them. You know, and
that's
but
right.
That's the mindset of them, no matter how small they are.
Right, they got to run
percentage.
It.
And it's like, I literally got to give them their credit at times. Like, they'll be on some adventure explorer. So in Southern Africa, unfortunately, it's like the highest percentage of white people across the African continent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like we're trapped in the middle, because in the northern part of Africa is dominated by evil, wicked Arabs. So we're kind of cornered.
Right.
But nevertheless, South Africa is based on drastic changes. One of the biggest changes that the people have seen in South Africa is where black folks just weren't getting the jobs, and then
right.
I'm not saying that has fixed all the problems, but you see where it has flipped around to where economic opportunity is more based on more pushed towards the majority, which is black people. So you went to a period of time where white folks are losing their jobs and opportunities to us. But even with those little minor changes, when you think of who owns the hotel, who owns the infrastructure, who owns aspects of resource mines and things like that, it's the European white conglomerate.
Yeah.
So, it's just like these little trinkets that we get, like just like in America, you get this bill, like Malcolm talked about, you get this bill, you get that bill, and all you do is just get bill after bill.
Mm-hmm.
But the system itself is not changing.
Right.
So that's the issue that I think a lot of us have in South Africa.
I know.
And as the period goes on, we've seen a little bit of changes, and we've seen more and more of us in the diaspora going there and doing wonderful things. But, it's just trying to bring light to the situation, because some people that are more not so much as African-centered or African consciousness, and it's no disrespect to anybody, but South Africa is one of those countries that draw them in. So my goal is to offer, not saying that the people that come with me are that mindset, because most of the people that travel with me are black conscious, but trying to create an avenue to where people can go to African country where it's not as like, because when you get to Ghana, it's like everything is like in your face. I mean, it's like the roots, the culture, everything. And South Africa is just it kind of molds you into it, because we have some really incredible aspects of just showing people the historical culture. And then they turn around one day, they go somewhere, and it's like European world. So that's the kind of the situation in South Africa. It's kind of like that mix.
Yeah.
But beyond that mix, I really want to get people to Ghana and Senegal and the Gambia, which for me, those are like the blackest African countries.
Right, right. Yeah. But I feel for my brothers and sisters. I know that they were fighting and killing Ghanaians and Nigerians because they were coming there getting jobs. But the reality is that the brothers and sisters in South Africa who were oppressed and their education was suppressed, and they didn't have the skills that the job givers were seeking or looking for. But you had Nigerians and Ghanaians and maybe some others who did have those skills. And so the brothers and sisters in South Africa said, well, they're taking our jobs. And so they were fighting them instead of fighting the Caucasians who have created the system. You know, that's what created this madness, you know?
Yeah, that was sad. And I was honestly a little disappointed.
Yeah.
That's always my frustration with South Africa. Because even at an instant, in 2005 when I went, I was with me and a small group of us. We connected with two Nigerians, and it was just good to meet them,
Right.
And we had so much in common and energy as far as us being from Jamaica and them being from Nigeria. And I just loved it. And then later on, we went out, and there's a crazy situation happened. Some mixed lady in the bar in South Africa, I guess she's a waitress, she attacked one of the Nigerian brothers. I guess she may have saw her and liked her and said certain things. But then it was like a situation like, oh, let us, the more mixed people in Southern Africa, attack all these dark-skinned black people.
Mm-hmm.
And it just became like that ugly. And when I saw the situation was going on this year, it reminded me of that. But it's a mentality of where the wicked, evil genes and energy of what the different groups of European that dominated South Africa have literally just put in the minds of people and caused this like color barrier where we're back to the same situation like Haiti and Dominican Republic,
right?
Light skin, dark skin,
exactly.
So it's like you leave from one turmoil to the next, but that's what we're really facing. We're facing things that used to be. I'm not saying it's still the same common problem, but these are like it's like sometimes you see like South Africa is. The mindset and energy is like decades like in the past, and you try to wonder when the southern part of Africa is going to connect with the robust energy of the rest of Africa that's moving and pushing for us to be strong as a people.
Well, because the Europeans are in control of the narrative. And, you know, I always said, if you are in control of the money and you are in control of the military, you're in control. I don't give a damn.
Absolutely.
I don't care how many.
That runs a country.
Yes.
And a nation.
Yes. I don't care how many dark faces you may have in a high place. It doesn't make a damn how many presidents you have. They're in control. And there is no place but Brother Bomani on the continent. No, no place in the world, not just on the continent, no place in the world that we can go, say, for instance, in Europe or in China and take some land and declare ourselves sovereign or territorialize that land off to be independent. There's nowhere.
No, you and that land will get burned down.
Yes. But in South Africa, there are many Caucasian, strictly Caucasian enclaves around South Africa. And I'm quite sure there might even be some in Zimbabwe, definitely some in Namibia, you know, where Caucasians who have now been there, some of them have been there for some generations, and they feel this is theirs. They didn't buy it. Yeah. They didn't bargain for it. They didn't trade for it. They just came and took it. And there's no way in hell that we can go to Europe or this country or any place else and do that same thing. But yet they can, and they did, and they're doing it even today. You know, so it's kind of tough, man, for us. But I think what you're doing is vitally important, because what you're doing is exposing our brothers and sisters to the continent, giving them the opportunity to look at things and see for themselves, possibly to invest, possibly to repatriate. That's what we need. We need people who have, like what you're doing and Brother Renoka Rashidi, what he's doing, and others who are bringing our people to the continent, exposing them to the culture of who we are. And it's only a matter of time before we say, yes, let's all do this, you know? So I appreciate it. How much is this?
Absolutely.
How much is the trip to South Africa, just roughly?
It's towards $3,700 and includes full flights from the U.S. to South Africa, and it also includes the flights internal in South Africa from Johannesburg to Cape Town and back.
That is
hotel accommodations in this, all meals included, all tours, includes a one-day safari, and I mean, this is just a full tour package.
Wow. For $3,700?
Yes, that's our price for our tours.
That's great.
A lot cheaper, but that's the best we can do. As
man,
far
but
as
that's great.
Competitive market.
Yes, it is. But I mean, you're going to Johannesburg for what? You say 5 days or 4 days, and then going to Cape Town for 3 days? Oh, man.
Yeah, exactly. And the 5 days in Johannesburg is three tour days, including one day of full safari.
Man. You know what? I hope those who are listening, when you make this trip again, want to do it again, that they'll be on it, because I know I will. I mean, I'm not really have a desire, like I said, to really go to South Africa, but that is a good price. That is something to me to take advantage of, because like I said, there's other African countries I want to go to and eventually hope to repatriate myself, you know, get out, you know. So now the trip to Ghana, December 24th to January 4th. And that's about the same thing, isn't it? About
$3,700? Yes, same price. I just toured this. It's 10 days in Ghana, 4 days in Accra, 3 days in Cape Coast, and 3 days in Kumasi.
Okay.
And it's the same thing, all-inclusive tour package.
Mm-hmm.
We have a tour bus that we rent for 10 straight days. When we get the bus picks us and pick us around the country and drop us back off at the airport. So you're able to logistically get around. So when you look at a Ghana itinerary, you feel like you're doing a lot more, because you're literally just, you have a bus and it takes you out every
right.
day. If you don't want to go out and you had too much, you can just relax and chill. But we just have a whole lot of educational things set aside for everyone to enjoy this, a nice, rich cultural experience, along with opening your minds up to living, doing business, investing,
right.
and also just plotting out a future of nation building, because for me personally, it doesn't make no sense that all of us must be just in and out of this incredible country called Ghana. And that's all we're doing. We're just in and out. We're going to the Holocaust dungeons. We're crying. We're going to partying and everything. Mm-hmm. But then we don't build the infrastructure and build the future. Once you have that kind of momentum with so much of us coming into a country, we have to harness that and build communities and build high level of investment. And Ghana is one of the few countries, an African country, African continent, that we literally, as a people, have a really strong energy. So that's what we're doing. We're looking to build communities and encourage other people to get into more of investments and everything. And don't let 2019 go by as a year where we just had a great time and we feel much more educated about our roots and culture, and that's it.
Right. Right, because we need more than that. That's Ashe.
Yeah, we have to move fully into, you know, we hear about nation building. That's nation building after that, where you're setting up, like I talk about, aspects of community. Because, you know, once you have more and more people want to move to the continent, you know, those of us that are there in place have to be the representation to bring, help the rest of the people over. Most of the people who are in a position to go and move right now, they're gone. And then so, obviously, the rest of us need some kind of help and some kind of momentum.
Right.
And that's what we're literally pushing more of. So in the next 5 years, Ghana is going to be that country.
I've been pushing that as well, especially Africa for the Africans and what you're doing, you know, because you're making it affordable. To me, if a person truly wanted to go, $3,700. If you begin to plan out, if you say right now, I plan to take another trip to Ghana, West Africa, and if it's say for instance, it's still that cost, may not be because costs always rise each year. But if it's that cost and you say, I'm going to go in May, you start right now saving, send a down payment, start saving and putting it on there and on there. By the time it comes, you may only have to pay maybe like about a few $100, $400 or $500. And you got your passport together. You got all those other requirements together. You got your visa together. You are ready to go. Now, if that is you, then what you need to do is go to youtube.com/Bomani2007 and look at the videos of what this man has done. I'm quite sure the video from this past May's trip to Ghana is on there, correct?
Yeah, and the thing about me, I shoot lots of videos. If we're in a city for 2-3 days, it's like sometimes 50 videos being shot based on us going to the museum, going to eat, going to the hotel, and moving around. So literally, over the years, that's what I've done. So when you're on a YouTube page, it's actually, it's youtube.com/Bomani2007. And literally, or you just, even if you type in Bomani Tayamba, you literally see this, like, over a whole decade of Ghana videos around the entire country.
From
the Delta region to the Eastern region, the Western region, Central region, Ashanti region, and Great Accra region, Togo, Benin, the neighboring countries, and you know, I live to do that, because even when you do that, there's still not a lot of documentation online, because most of the time we're going and we get excited, we take pictures and videos, but then we keep them on our phone and then we throw our phone to the side in the rest of the box with our outdated electronics, and you know, so you're also encouraging people to create blogs, create video logs, and go out there and, you know, you have tell people, you know, they have opportunity, they can build their own tourism or travel agency business. The market is open, but only thing I want to tell people is, like, whenever you're going to do these things, come correct and put the work in.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, that's the difference maker. It don't make no sense to get involved and you're not going to give your full
right energy. And because it requires that, and you have done that. You have, I mean, over a long period of time, you have done that.
Yeah, literally, I had to go from someone that was on the plantation and learning certain things and realize that I have to get off this, you know, get off this 9-to-5
that's
job.
Right, get off the plantation.
And this is for all of us that's in the Black Conscious Movement that are more of the organizer and leaders as far as the mindset. In order for you to really just get your work done, you can't go somewhere and give somebody 10 hours of your best day, 10 of your best hours. And that's a lot of times how we get worn out. because then you, I had to do that for a long time. I worked 12 hour shifts at the airlines. And then I have to come back and taking breaks and having to, you know, you're using your phone and you go and use your computer and answering emails. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's whatever it takes for you to communicate with the people that you're looking to do business with so you can get to the point where you're working together more as a people. But ultimately, you're going to have to get to the point where you're available more to deal with people and you can put more of your energy into your craft. And that's how we are able to, you know, we can really build in the future of Africa. We have to start making repatriation and connecting and African nation building a priority.
Just like we make
sure that the white system get their money, and we faithfully do that. Well, most of the time, the money comes out of our money. So sometimes they don't even give us a choice.
That's right. They just take it. Yeah, makes you wanna holler, throw up both your hands. That's for sure.
Yeah, and when you're self-employed, you have more control of your money, and that's what I tell people. It's like, you know, I have more control of my money and control over and making sure these people don't have their hands in my pocket.
Right.
You know, because then, you know, it's like the more money that the system wants you to give them, whether it's for you know, many different things, you know, because you're already getting taxed like 3-4 times
right.
already.
Right. Right.
And which is
crazy.
An automatic crime.
Yeah,
your
it really
money
is.
Gets taxed on this, and that same money gets taxed again.
Yep.
That same money gets taxed again.
Yes.
To the point where,
sales tax,
like,
property tax.
Your money is just dedicated to tax.
Yeah. Everybody can get theirs, and then you got the those who are the 10% and even the 1% of the 10% who don't pay shit. They don't
pay
nothing.
People with the money that need to pay don't pay.
Yeah. People need to pay don't pay ain't paying nothing, man. It's crazy.
They use their system to get over, and then, you know, so it's, at the end of the day, you know, even, and then we get to the point where we're just working and so on, even when we're doing self-employed work, we got to ultimately think about getting you and your brothers and sisters together in an environment to where we're, like I talk about, building these communities where it's a 10-acre community with 30, 40 people or something bigger, and really get involved in these group investment projects. So any little exposure we can give as far as just interviewing people or just going to different countries and open the mindset, it's good, because at the end of the day, the power is always in the people, and we have to decide what we want to do with that power.
Well, it's in our hands. That's the thing, and you're right. It's in our hands. But if we're not exposed and you not have your right mind, then, no, you will not have the ability to do those things. That's a consciousness that needs to be developed by those of us who are that, by talking, doing what we're doing right now, spreading this information. Whenever possibilities that you can, you know, because I know that, you know, going online to Facebook to see pictures, Facebook.com/Bomani, or going to see the videos at YouTube.com/Bomani 2007. And what was cool when I saw it, I mean, I went to Ghana one time, the first time I went. You know, it was inexpensive, and we stayed in Winneba.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we stayed in Winneba, and of course, that resort is run down. We didn't have really good transportation, but what I've seen from the years I've gone back to look at what you have done, you got coaches, I mean, air conditioning, you have nice hotels, you know, you have...
I love that bus, right? That bus, I love that bus. I tell people that bus ain't no joke. People ask me, "How do you pay for a bus?" I was like, "It's $1,000 a day." I was like, brand new bus, fuel, full staff there with us the whole time. And you know, in order to pay for a bus like that, you got to get at least 30 people on a trip with you.
Okay.
So it makes a whole lot of difference when you put your money together as a people, and then the person that's organizing it for you is not trying to just
right.
You know, like try to skin the money and just get you the worst things. Like some people, like it's a bus. All right, so you get either two things. It's the most important thing that you're doing is the transportation, whether it's the airlines or the underground, because that's, you know, you got to get around in your lodging. So it's like you can't, you got to make sure that we get the best of accommodation. So the Micklin Hotel is a black-owned business hotel, one in Accra and one in Kumasi. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't dare using the Marriott or the Hilton.
I said.
They're all right there. And then the airport district, they have all these fancy, every single fancy brand of white European hotel that you can think of in your mind. Mm-hmm. They have them right there in Accra, Ghana.
That's right. They do.
And if, at this rate, if we carry ourselves the way that the country is being built, black people won't get the opportunities to grow as far as like hotels like the Micklin Hotel or people like Imacus of One Africa Resort. She has her resort there. And the good thing about it is not a lot of white resorts came right there to Cape Coast Elmina because they'd literally be squeezing like the seven different Airbnb spots that are available that are owned by all black people.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
But at the same time too, you know, we have to encourage our people that are in business to elevate themselves to another level. On a twofold situation. Step up business,
yeah.
Because eventually we can outdo our competition in the world. We may not be able to throw up these 5-6 fancy star hotels, but even if we build certain things moderate and support it, you know, we can grow.
See, unfortunately, the European mindset is still very dominant and very predominant within African countries. And
right.
and so our people still look towards Europeans, still want what Europeans have. And I ain't just talking about us who are like here. I'm talking about Africans on the continent. That's their mindset as well, you know. Looking towards the European, you know, because like when I was there back in April, you know, and I was seeing I'm quite sure you've been to Ghana. You were there back in May, and you see all these high rises that are going up.
And it's coming.
Yeah. And the high rises, right? And the high rises are being built by various entities, not African, you know, they're Italian, French, German, European, Chinese. Chinese is so deep in Africa. And I know I went to Moli Park up in the west of Tamale. I went up to Tamale and went to Moli Park. And the Chinese built that road, you know, from Tamale to Moli Park, because that road from Tamale to Moli Park was terrible.
I can imagine, brother. Yeah. That's usually the case when you're heading out to the tourist areas. You figure that the tourist routes would be nice, but it's a good investment, but they probably have to sell their soul to get that done.
Yeah. But what's even deeper, though, Brother Bomani, the Chinese built additional resort and a road. So when you go into Moli Park, you could, you know, there's one higher on a hill that the Chinese built and a road that leads to it. Now, I'm thankful for the road that goes from the Moli Park Game Reserve to Tamale. Yes, because that road was terrible. I've done that. But by the same token, we could have built that damn road. We didn't have to have the Chinese do it. We could do it. The infrastructure issues in Ghana, because I can't speak to other places. I did, although when I was in Senegal, in Dakar, they have issues too, but not as prevalent that I see, you know.
Yeah, the city's a little nice in Dakar, but yeah, Senegal got that infrastructure issue. Mm-hmm. I literally thought it was worse in Ghana, but a lot has changed in Senegal, so it's a little nicer. But
yeah.
once you leave from Dakar and you go further out, you're going to really see, you know.
Yeah,
it is. It's just
exactly.
Like all these countries are just making the one or two popular cities very nice. But then the rest of once you go out is the
right.
Same drama.
Exactly. Exactly. I was going to say it's the same thing, you know. So when you go to Ghana in end of next month, of course you're going to Cape Coast and Elmina Dungeon. Are you going to see my good friend, Sister Amakus at One Africa?
Oh, yes. We're staying by there at One Africa Resort for 3 days.
Oh.
We'll be here going to Cape Coast Holocaust Dungeon, going to the Kakum National Park and the Canopy Walk.
Oh, the Canopy Walk, yes.
We also have a school that we go to, a Coma Academy.
Okay.
To donate school supplies and financial donations.
Beautiful.
And
yes,
we have this nice little naming ceremony on the beach, and then there's a whole lot of networking and this great buffet food, and then we're doing a New Year celebration, and bringing in the New Year at One Africa. So it's going to be beautiful.
Oh man, outstanding! I can't wait to see the pictures on that. Oh wow, that's going to be great. Yeah.
Yeah, you know me, I'm a man of many pictures, man.
I know you are.
I was looking at the photo gallery that I have on Facebook, and I was just showing to, you know, one of my associates, and I was like, you know, I was like, this thing, you just click on it, and it go all the way back to 2006. I was like, there's not one year that I missed where we didn't have, like, a whole bunch of videos and a whole bunch of photos. And this thing started going to Ghana, that's been that era. Lots of videos, lots of pictures.
Yeah.
And the same thing with all other countries. So literally, once you're on my, you know, my YouTube page, even the playlist, I've just been creating a ridiculous amount of playlists. You know, you have playlists for the African Holocaust dungeons, and out of all the videos that I've shot in Africa all together, the majority of videos that I've shot, more than any other videos, deal with the African Holocaust. I thought that was, to me personally, was the most important thing for me as someone that have all this good equipment to shoot, so there's more pictures and videos than anything else.
Yeah.
Of Cape Coast Holocaust dungeons, El Mina, and then once I started doing Senegal again and Jufri, and the Gambian James Allen, those documentation will add on to a whole other set of African Holocaust documentation. Because at the end of the day, when you meet any people, whether they are European, especially when you meet these European Jews. Especially the ones that are in the school system teaching our children, they'll beat your head over with the Holocaust.
That sure will.
As a matter of fact, when I was in high school, I knew more about
the
Jewish Holocaust than any. You could have asked me any question about one to the African Holocaust. I wouldn't be able to answer any question. But I've been able to tell you about all the stories that they filled in my head about the Jewish Holocaust.
That's right.
And I teach them specifically that beating our head to this make us like feel bad for her and her people. And all of us in the classroom were either just dark-skinned black people who are maybe brown-skinned, so-called Hispanic. And none of that was relevant to us.
No. And yet, you're right. You're trained. You're bombarded with the idea that you should feel bad for these people for what they have endured. But these European Jews, they have no right at all to the land they now occupy. The European Jews, you know, but yet, they are so powerful and to the extent that they have the United States government saying that if you plan a boycott, if you speak ill against Israel, that you could be fined and imprisoned. In America, you could be fined and imprisoned if you say something or you promote a boycott of Israel, you know. That's how much power that the European Jew has. And even though the European Jew has no connections to those individuals who are Hebrew or those individuals who are Israelites, they have none. These are Ashkenazi European Jews who were converted to Judaism about 1,000 years ago, but who dominate and control Judaism. They're the ones who control the entertainment industry. When you talk about the imagery that was put out about African people, and I saw a piece on it just not too long ago, all the blackface. Of course, Al Jolson was the first one in the movies and talking movies, the jazz singer, European Jew in blackface, you know, and all of these other negative and stereotypical caricatures or caricatures of us as a people. So, I mean, the European Jews are, I could go on. I'm done with that.
literally, all of that history has been beat into us. So
yeah.
For me personally, as a black man that's into roots and culture, it's my job, my duty, just like all the rest of us, to push that history and educate the rest of our brothers and sisters by any means.
That's right.
Whether we're doing business conference, whether we do, you know, we're doing an event at the Malcolm X festival, or whether we're doing a radio show like you're doing here, or whether we're making movies like some people, or documentaries, you know, it's right. Like it has to be we all have to just band into this and right. Make it the most important thing. And like, don't worry about when people say this happened hundreds of years ago. Well, a million years from now, people are going to be saying that happened millions of years ago. But it's right. Like, you know, like, what is, you know, are we just going to let the greatest crime that's ever been committed against any people in this planet just disappear like that?
No.
Work its way out of history books to where European authors are writing that Africans came over from the continent as indentured workers, and all kind of foolishness that are being put in these books.
Yes.
To where your children mind is.
That's right.
I'm happy that my son get a chance to travel with us to Africa.
That's great.
So you can see.
Yes.
And all of a sudden that, you know, you don't understand, but yet you thankful for this opportunity because you're able to see what's real and what the people in the school system are conjuring to, you know, and miseducating you with. Mm-hmm. And that's what I tell my son and any other children, don't complain about how boring school is. Just take advantage of the opportunity to
that's
learn
right.
What you can learn. And
that's
then
right.
Educate yourself when you get in a position. Like, once I turned 18 and experienced life for a few years, I realized that the power of education is in my hands because, you know, after spending all this money at university, paying for business class and certain classes, I'm realizing that you're not being taught anything. You're just being indoctrinated
yes.
into a system to just do certain things. And the critical thinking of that aspect is completely not in those curriculums and courses. And in order for you to build that energy, we have to begin to just go back to each one, teach one, and self-educate ourselves.
That's right.
So, like, even my business here, Bomani Technology, Africans, I tell people everything else is about educating ourselves. There's computers out there. We need to learn computers and use it effectively and not just let other people just build rocket ships and fly over the universe mm-hmm. and just control our minds and have satellites all on us. So, you know, we just have to play our part and not just sit down and just accept things. And us going on these trips and spending our money and going to Africa making moves, it's us just saying, hey, we're going to try our best to do everything, but we don't want to be, you know, we don't want people to be out there as cheerleaders, cheering us on.
we want them participating.
In the movement.
Right. We
come
want them in there.
About how to start a business and let me mm-hmm. help you. Like, get involved in something.
Mm-hmm.
And together we'll just, you know, I think everything will work itself out once elements of, you know, us just, a lot of times it's just a small little things that we as a people need to keep on doing. And then after a while, things just, momentum just kicks in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to do. And it has to be consistent. And that's what you have done over these many years. That's why I admire and respect you. And definitely one day, Brother Bomani, I'm going to go with you, man. Although I'm going to be on this radio program promoting the hell out of it. But I'm going to just say, hey, I'm going to take my time off. Get somebody jump in or play some old recordings. Because I'm going to go with Brother Bomani Tahimba. I'm going to Africa.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Because one thing I tell people is that we're not just working this as, you know, we just want you just to have a good time in Africa. We're working this as what we should have been working our Black Power movement in America as, you know, a situation to take us to a level of this, the ultimate independence.
Right.
Which is just to have our own nation. Whether it's here in America, you know, you have heard the situation, you have heard, you know, you hear the talks and you hear the organization, but it's like, and it may be a little bit more difficult in America because as soon as you turn around and do something, or as soon as your voice is strong, you have drama.
Yes.
And we have seen how this unfolds. You know, police are stopping you and harassing you, or you're getting, or your own people are turning against
yes,
you.
Yes. Yes.
Other people manipulating them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we've seen that for like 100 straight years, from like 1900 to 2000, like nonstop.
Still nonstop.
And it's like, so I tell people, like, well, obviously, if we turn around and do the same thing like everyone else has done here, we're just going to get targeted, maybe just in a different way. But what if we just decide to do something in Africa away from the system, even though we know the big American embassy is there in Ghana and along with other European embassies and people got satellites and things like that. But nevertheless, it put us in a momentum where we're in a rich Black African country.
Mm-hmm.
And if we just, and from what I know of the African continent, you go in there and you're making moves. That's what people want to see. So the love is going to be there, and then the momentum of the people in the community is going to have your back.
That's right.
And I think that's the difference maker of trying to build something in America versus what we're doing in Ghana.
Right. Well, to me, that's what it has to be. You cannot be independent, self-determining, liberated, or sovereign here in this country. I know that the Republic of New Africa and the Nation of Islam and others have called for a piece of land here in America. And they most often talked about, because I was a member of the Republic of New Africa back in the 60s, late 60s.
Oh, excellent. That's the sub.
You know, but they're talking about, you know, then South Carolina, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, and Mississippi. Now, why not Louisiana and why not Florida? I don't know, but
I thought Louisiana was part of the whole mix, because
I know,
the majority of black people are in the U.S. these southern states,
right? But yet still, those five states, as they said, but my feelings after many years have been that that's not going to happen. And number one, you are talking about doing something in the midst of an open and sworn enemy. So when you understand what you're talking about doing, look at the history. Because of segregation, we had to create our own, because we couldn't go to the Caucasians. So when we created our own and we started doing real well, the envy and jealousy and mean-spiritedness and the evilness and greediness of Caucasians, they vamped on those communities. Whatever excuse they could use, usually the excuse was the being accosted by some Caucasian woman. You know, some brother slowly accosted a white woman, and now we got to go and vamp on that community, take their stuff, imprison them or kill them, and then burn their stuff down. You know, I was asked to speak year after next in 2021 for the Tulsa riot. And because they're trying to develop a way to present that. And my contention is there's no other way to present it and just to talk about the evil that it was, you know, and what happened and how it happened and why that's still happening today. Because Brother Bomani, today, Elaine, Arkansas, Tulsa, Boley, Oklahoma, Rosewood, Florida, Allentown in Los Angeles area, all those places that existed had a good place for us to come together to do stuff, and they were all destroyed by Europeans. And then in contemporary time, you have Milwaukee. We had a nice community that they ran an expressway through. It's the same thing that happened in the Raleigh-Durham, the Haiti community in Raleigh-Durham. They ran an expressway through it and killed that community. So there's not one community in America where we, as African people, American African people, we control. That we control in terms of commerce, in terms of business, in terms of whatever. There's not one place like that. Every place is, in fact, here in Atlanta, we have all these brothers and sisters, and we don't have a damn supermarket. Not one damn supermarket, you know?
That's a great point, Sirius.
Yes. That's why I'm saying, because see, here in America, they teach you and promote individualism. You know, you're the captain of your ship, you know? You're an individual. That's what's most important. Damn all that collectivism and all that. No, it's all about you and yours. To hell with them and theirs. That's the mindset that they give you.
Well, that's being pushed and preached. What are European white developers doing? They're putting their money together. That's how they build all of these. That's how they come into the communities and come into impoverished or poor communities and build their high rises and build their condos and lofts and things like that, and work their way into, you know. They put their money together, and so while they're putting their money together and dominating us every single day in every aspect, they're telling us not to do the same thing.
Exactly.
Like Michael Jordan, don't put your money together with magic and build anything.
Imagine if all those cats had some level of consciousness, all those entertainers.
Some level, some level.
Some level of consciousness to say that we're going to do something to help our people, to provide jobs for our people. We're going to stop the gentrification that's going on in many of these cities. We're going to build businesses, supermarkets, hospitals, you know, schools. We're going to do some things. We're going to pull our money together to do these things. But yet you're trained not to do that because you're trained to believe it's all about you. Individualism. America's about individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. But for us, in fact, there's a saying, individualism is a European Caucasian desire.
And I love it, bro. So you be dropping the knowledge, Oshie. That is beautiful right there.
That's
it right there. That's their desire.
That's right.
What about our destiny?
Exactly.
Our destiny is the nation build.
Exactly.
Go back to communal living.
Man, Bomani, you finish it up, brother. You, because that collectivism, the coalescing of amongst itself, is an African necessity. It's a must. We have to be that because that's who we are. You know,
that's how our ancestors built great civilizations.
Yes, that's right.
You know, and it's like, you know, whenever I go to, you know, whenever, like when I was in Egypt and Ethiopia, which is two of the most incredible countries I'm literally just I had the privilege as a black man to go to because I literally saw the history
of
my own brothers and sisters that look just like me,
no matter
what they put in their history books. You know, that energy was just there.
Right on. Do you plan to do another trip to Egypt and Ethiopia?
Oh no, these are trips that I went with other people.
Okay.
Ethiopia trip more like I was part of a group that was.
Okay.
I did all the documentation. Other people did different things, and we were there to promote the Ethiopia trip. So I try to work with different people. Aspect of us working together.
Right on.
That was a great initiative, even though we didn't come out that successful. Because at the end of the day. The country also has to sell itself.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of the things that I'm happy about Ghana. Ghana, they don't play around with the marketing and the promotions, whether it's like the Joseph Project, even though some of those marketing may not be as sincere, but I think ultimately what they're putting things out there to attract you to come to the country. And then I think ultimately, in a country like Ghana, when you get there, they want you to feel a rich culture and energy and then see where you can
fit in.
Find yourself, position yourself, and do what you need to do to be a part of the continent.
Yeah.
So that helps a lot. So when you talk about countries like Ethiopia, you can go on YouTube and try to find some videos of their government saying anything about us and Dasa saying, and you just won't see much of anything. But what you see is Ghana, 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 to the point where people started hating on Ghana. And I was like, yo, be thankful we have at least one African country
that is welcoming.
Where any black person from the diaspora can go, and within 5 years, they can be a citizen of that country, and they can be integrated into the country. Versus the countries in Africa don't have that program. If Samuel Jackson show up into Gabon, no doubt they're going to give him a citizenship.
Right.
And so on. But these are like individual energy. But literally, Ghana has worked it out to where there have worked situations where it was 30 people here, 50 people here, 100 people here, and people may not look at that as much, and maybe it's not, but we have to compare momentum and energy with everything else going on, all right? Don't talk bad about Ghana because they're not making millions of us citizens. What about the rest of the African country? What's the next African country that's giving us citizenship? People are like, and people be thinking about that for a long time, but the answer is none.
There you go. But listen, you know, my time is up, man. Time flies when you're having fun. But I'm going to give you a chance to do a wrap up here, Brother Bomani, because I know you're leaving next week. When you get back, let's talk again of the experience in South Africa before you go back to Ghana next month. So when you get back, let's do that. So right now, promote what you're going to do. Go ahead.
Absolutely, family. This is Bomani Tayamba. You can reach me directly. Phone number is 404-931-9429. And you can also text that number. Once again, phone number 404-931-9429. You can connect with me via email, afta2010@msn.com. But once you get to our website, all of our information is on our website, including YouTube, Facebook links, and all of the social networks. Our website is AfricaForTheAfricans.org. And then if you want to search me on Google, Bomani Taimba, and you see lots of documentation come up. And just reach out to me and let me know what you're looking to do. We have tours every year in April to Senegal and the Gambia, every November to South Africa, and every May and December to Ghana. And those are the four countries that we have to take you on the best journey of a lifetime on the African continent.
That's beautiful. Ashe, thank you so much, my brother. Have a safe trip for you and all those who are going. I appreciate you very much, my man. Right on, Bomani. I can't wait till you get back. As soon as you get back, let's talk so we can inform our people once again of the great time that they will have when they take a trip with Africa for the Africans. Appreciate you, brother.
Absolutely, brother. Appreciate you. And take care, family, we'll connect back next time.
All right. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, this has been a great week. I'm glad that you are with me. Please do so. Have a safe weekend. So be safe. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Isante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodia means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, have a great weekend. Peace.